I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Terps will play Florida Thursday at 7:30. Pregame coverage 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. Orioles are done with spring training baseball. It's a perfect time to head out to Window Nation Fan Hotline and talk to our friend Cordell Woodland. And Cordell, thanks as always for joining us. So when you were sitting at Bingo World on Friday with Coach Sunshine, Jimmy Patsos, were you confident they'd make it to the Sweet 16? And now that you've seen them get there in the way they did, especially last night, what do you think of these Terps?
Yeah, I mean, I had them penciled in for the Sweet 16 on all of my brackets, and by all, I mean all two of them. That took the time to sell out. But yeah, I mean, I knew Colorado State would be a tough test. They've got an NBA caliber player on their team that, in all honesty, got away with murder times yesterday. But you know, it was a tough game, and it wasn't their best game by any means, but it's not about playing your best games. It's about just surviving in advance. And that's what they did. And they needed all 40 minutes of it yesterday. It was great. I mean, when Colorado State hit the go ahead bucket, you know, I'm sitting there like, oh man, it's about to happen again. But man, Derek Queen just really coming up big time right there with the shot of, like, I don't even know what to call it, but that sent shockwaves, I think, through the state yesterday when he made that shot. It gave, and I tweeted it yesterday, it gave me vibes of the LeBron buzzer beater against the Raptors in the playoffs a couple of years ago where he's laying it in. Granted, Bron hit more of the backboard than Queen did, but the result was the same. So I feel good about the Terps right now. Obviously, I mean, you win a game like that and your reward is now you got to go play Florida. So we'll see what happens, but if nothing else, this team has shown that they can compete with anybody, and it really will require probably their best game today if they're going to get past the Gators.
Cordell, we know that Derek Queen's a one and done here, and that shot is, we're going to see that every single year in March in Maryland's history, but what do you think his lasting impact is going to be at the University of Maryland?
An all-around player, a difference maker. He's a generational talent. He's a generational talent. I mean, I can't think of the last player with his type of upside that played at Maryland. I mean, I remember Aaron Wiggins was there, and
Stevie Francis. You know, but you're too young.
No, definitely not. Come on, Ken. Come on, stop. That's not too young, but Stevie Francis might have to be the last time you go. I brought up Wiggins just because Wiggins had – he was one of those guys that had more potential than I think maybe he showed at Maryland. At times he would show up, but definitely not consistently and definitely not to this level. But, I mean, we're talking about a premier player in the entire nation right now with Derek Queen, who has an NBA style of play. I mean, it's a pretty good thing when you're being compared to, in my opinion, the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic, with his play style. And that's exactly the way he plays. He makes everybody around him better. He can facilitate. He can rebound. He can handle the ball. He can score. He can do whatever it is necessary. And for him to demand the ball and then, you know, do what he did with it, that's big time right there. I mean, I think that's something that does cause people on a national level to look at Maryland different. When you have a player like that on your team, when a player like that is willing to stay home and commit to your school, that's big time. That speaks a lot. So I think the world of Derrick Quinn. I really do. I think he's just scratching the surface. I'm so excited to see what the future holds for him, because I know who his comparison is. But I don't know what his game looks like 5 years mm-hmm. from now, 8 years from now. I'm excited to see it because I think that this is a dude who has longevity written all over him.
Orioles made a flurry of activity, transactions over the weekend. Still waiting, I guess, final word on their roster. We'll see about Jorge Mateo and some of these relievers and where they go. What do you think of the Kyle Gibson signing? What do you think of the state of Orioles pitching right now?
Yeah, I mean, the Gibson one I thought was kind of – it had been just sitting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that was going to happen. I'm honestly surprised it took as long as it did, and I think I saw one of the beat reporters down there saying that Mike Elias had contacted his agent about 2 weeks ago. So, you know, this is – I'm not necessarily surprised to see that. He's a guy that they know. He's comfortable in that locker room. We've talked a little bit this offseason about where some of that veteran leadership going to come from. Kyle Gibson has already shown that he can do that here in Baltimore. And he's stable. He's not, you know, he's not the ace, obviously, but, you know, he's somebody that you know is going to hit the post every fifth day once he does get up and running. And I think he'll give them a chance to win more times than not. So it's not anything to write home about, no, but I do think it's a solid move for them. I'm still waiting to see what happens with Mateo. You know, the talk seems to be a little more optimistic than mm-hmm. it was maybe so a month or so ago. So that's good news. But we'll see. I mean, the Gunner stuff isn't great, but it's good to hear days, not weeks. I've already had kind of accepted in my mind that Gunner probably wasn't going to be there when the season starts in Toronto. But at some point he will be there. So I guess for me, it's like, you know, what does this lineup look like now? Who's going to be at second base? Who's playing shortstop? Who's playing third base? And who's leading off in this lineup right now?
Well, let's get to that, Cordell, because what if it's Jackson Holliday at short, Jordan Westbrook at second, Ramon Urias at third, and Colton Cowser leading off? How do you feel about that?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not crazy about Cowser leading off.
Me
He's
neither.
A little too volatile for me.
Yeah.
I would like to see something a little more consistent right there. I mean, I've seen with the way that Jackson has played so far this spring, people are starting to throw his name into a hat, and I would probably be more willing to see what that looks like more than seeing what Cowser looks like as the leadoff hitter. But they need somebody there that can get on base. I like the way Adley's hit so far this spring. He seems to be the type of guy that you can kind of put anywhere in that top five spot the way that he's playing. So I wouldn't be opposed to that, but it's not ideal when Gunner's not there. Maybe Mullins gets another shot. I don't know, but I am curious to see what they do with that. In terms of second base, shortstop, and third base, I wanted to see Jackson Holliday stay at second base. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the big thing going from last year to this year, him getting more comfortable at second base, him locking down defensively first, and then allowing his offense to pick up after that, and to see, you know, that they're thinking about moving him around, or he has been moving around. He's been playing shortstop again. I don't love it. Ramon Urias can play anywhere. Jordan Westbrook can play anywhere. Those two guys I'm not necessarily worried about, and which makes me feel even strongly about keeping Jackson at second and letting Westbrook stay at third. And Ramon Urias, or Westbrook and Ramon Urias swapping shortstop or third base, those two guys are interchangeable. They've shown that they can play anywhere along from the middle of the infield over to third base. But I just don't like moving around with Jackson Holliday, not showing any stability with him. I feel like it's important for him to not have to go through some of the whirlwind changes that he went through last season. So I would like to see him stay put at second base, but obviously it doesn't seem like I'm going to get what I want.
Cordell, when are you back on the airwaves with Beltway Ben?
I believe we're back on Wednesday, I believe, because the tournament games are back at it on Thursday.
Yes.
So I believe Wednesday is the day that we're back at it. So we'll still be riding a high, I'm sure, of the Derek Queen buzzer beater and starting to prepare for that game against Florida. We've been preparing for opening day next week. A lot's happening in a short span of time. And then, you know, the draft is less than a month away as well now. So it's go time for sure.
Are you good to go for O's Clubhouse and all that stuff, reporting from Camden Yards? And
in terms of credentials and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be down there.
I'll be down there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, me and Nolan on opening day have a show from 10 to 12 from Pickles that morning. So I'll be down there the whole day.
But yeah, during the season.
But I mean, like during the season, you'll be reporting from there.
Same as always.
Just double checking because we will definitely be calling on you.
For sure.
Thank you, brother.
All right, buddy. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
A lot of things in flux around here, Cordell. Yeah. I don't take anything for granted anymore, brother. Just want to better safe than sorry.
We'll come back and talk Maryland basketball. And Derek Queen, in particular, is this the greatest one season run we've ever seen in Maryland? It's not even over yet. We'll discuss next here on The Fan. Derek Queen hits the buzzer beater last night. He finishes with 17-6. He has led the Terps to the Sweet 16, or helped lead the Terps to the Sweet 16. He was the leading scorer last night, coming off a nice game against Grand Canyon the first round. He has been a big part of this all season long. Expectations are he's leaving after this year because he's going to be a top 10, maybe top 5 NBA draft pick. But his legacy as a one-year guy, and we talked about this and with Cordell, like it's Stevie Francis, and Stevie Francis was a JUCO transfer,
right.
So he wasn't a freshman. Like, this is pretty unique and impressive stuff from Derek Queen.
It's a young man from Baltimore who is obviously Baltimore proud, and he's Terps proud, and he understands the lineage and the importance. He played on a high school team that did some historic things and chose to, and I say high school, I mean prep school.
Prep school.
I mean, it's
the whole starting fives in college basketball.
Yeah, and might all be going to the NBA.
Yeah.
And chose to come here at a time where the program was in sort of a malaise and the stink of the way Terge left. They hadn't totally dug out of it. Willard was kind of still in between. And for him to have done all that he's done in 1 year, and I would say all this before he hit that shot, because we said a lot of this last week. He's in a position to help this program moving forward in this era of portal, NIL, social media, branded ambassadors, wearing Terps gear at NBA All-Star games, hopefully getting a Supermax contract at some point in time, maybe, and then putting some of that money back into the program. Being a role model for kids in this city and showing them you can go to Maryland and come out a top 5 draft pick in the NBA. There's a lot. Like, there's a lot of tentacles there, and there's a lot of ways that this young man might be able to continue giving back to this program and create a really robust symbiotic relationship that involves, at its core, grassroots basketball in Baltimore. That's huge.
In his first game, he had a 20-20. He was Big Ten Freshman of the Year. He was a huge, huge reason why this team finished second in the Big Ten after preseason picked 10th. And now he just delivered an iconic moment that is going to be seen year after year after year, that buzzer beater. That Drew Nicholas was the last one in 2003, and you always see that shot every single year on Twitter or social media platform. Derek Queen, in 1 year, has made a huge impact, and you hope that it continues.
And it will continue Thursday against Florida. They take on the Gators, 7:30. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 here on 105.7 The Fan. Johnny Holiday, Walt Williams, and our next guest, Chris Nockey, will be on the call here on 105.7 The Fan and the Maryland Sports Radio Network. Chris joins us now.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Next. The Terps have landed in San Francisco. They take on Florida this Thursday at 7:30. Pregame coverage at 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan and the Maryland Sports Radio Network. Johnny Holiday, Walt Williams, and our next guest, Chris Nockey, will be on the call. Chris joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Chris, thank you as always for your time. Hope you get a lot of bread bowls while you're out there. But I do need to start here before we get to the game and everything. Was there ever an explanation as to why, when they seem to review everything in college basketball, there was never a review on Jordan Geronimo getting hit, elbowed in the face yesterday?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, and I completely missed it. It was down the other end from. They didn't give us a monitor, but I tell you, my phone lit up with people texting me like, Jesus, you know, yeah, he should be kicked out of this game. And I asked one of the Maryland assistant coaches who controls the tablet behind the bench.
That's Chris, you there?
Hello? I think we lost him. Let's try him back. It sounds like a try.
Might have been in an elevator?
Yeah. Beltway Ben, try him back if we can. That's a cliffhanger.
We're about to find out why they didn't maybe make more of a fuss about trying to get it reviewed.
Tune in next time and you'll find out.
I mean, Geronimo's such a tough kid, right? We've seen him lose teeth
the Rutgers
and
game.
Go through like not even flinch. But if he sells it a little, like I mean, that's going to knock some people out. He was unfazed, almost crazily, by it. Like, he absorbed it in such a way that it was the opposite of embellishing it.
So we have Chris Nockey back. Chris, you were saying you talked to the guy, the assistant who controls the tablet.
Yeah, and he just said that by the time he got the review, play had moved on. And, you know, there wasn't a situation where they could say, geez, you have to go back and look at this. Now, I'm a little surprised they didn't look at it at halftime. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the rules are on how retroactive you can be on something like that, but I didn't actually see the whole thing until this morning. And it's egregious, you know, what happened and the fact that it was missed.
Chris, take us through being on the call in that final minute. Julian Reese getting that big offensive rebound, hitting both free throws, and then Jalen Lake hits what people thought maybe was the dagger. Here we go again. And then that final play, Derek Queen. That's an iconic play that we're going to see every single year.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of thing lives on, and it's in a part of every reel that's ever produced about March Madness, which is really cool. And cool for Derek. I mean, while we missed the Geronimo call because it was down on the other end, most of the plays you're talking about happened right in front of us. Julian working for the rebound, Julian burying the free throws, and, of course, the game winner. And, you know, I mean, it was sort of part of just an incredible second half. When you think about all the peaks and valleys, all the runs, and, you know, it was just the ebb and flow was absurd during the entire 20 minutes of the second half.
Maybe I'm crazy here, Coach, but there were a couple instances in that game where the fouls looked odd to me. They looked unnatural. There was the Clifford elbow. There was the elbow that Clifford delivered to Queen, where Queen got called for a foul, and I don't even think he even touched him. Rodney Rice, I was worried about his Achilles. Somebody dove at his ankles while he was shooting. There were a couple fouls that were late. It seemed chippy and a little weird to me. Am I off? I'm often off, so I could be totally off. True.
I think Colorado State came in with a little attitude, and I'm not hating on them for that. I think that Nico Medved told his guys, you know, we couldn't beat these guys in 4 out of 7. All we have to do is beat them once. And this is a game that will, you know, that will endear that team that they were able to get the W. That endears that group to Colorado State fans forever. You know, I mean, that's a program maker. And so I just think he had them all wound up. I thought Colorado State had great play off their bench. That's the one little guy come off the bench, little point guard, who was a serious fly in the ointment. And I just think that if you're in their position, I think that's, you can't condone anything you think is cheap, but I think you have to play with that kind of attitude if you're going to, you know, you're going to win a game like that.
You brought up the little guy, so that was going to be my other question, so I'll ask it now. The guards, like, shooting, you know what I mean, is going to ebb and flow, and this team has had some slow starts. I think now that they're no longer going to be the favorite and they've reached the Sweet 16, maybe they'll exhale a little there. The backcourt defense is what I couldn't figure out. What did you see? Is this an anomaly or anything that we should be concerned about?
Well, I mean, Colorado State runs stuff completely different from what we've seen. You know, we've seen a lot of individual ISO type stuff, high pick and roll. What they do is they spread the floor. They move it really fast side to side. Very good passing team. And because they have the guards who can shoot the ball so well out front, they have a naturally positive spacing, to their offense. And so I just think it was a very unique cover there. Again, Terps had one day to prepare for that.
Right.
And that's hard to do in the tournament. And fortunately, you survive and fellas are still dancing.
We're talking with Chris Nock. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Chris, I know we like to wax poetic about things, but Derek Queen, his 1 year at Maryland, the only comp I have is Steve Francis, but he wasn't a freshman because he was a JUCO transfer. But like, we're expecting him to go pro after this year, but I think it's been an unforgettable season for him.
Well, for all of us. The last 6 weeks have been spectacular. And yeah, I mentioned this on the air after Johnny's call. You think about what it takes for a 20-year-old, 250-pound guy moving left, shooting right, completely covered, and kissing it off the backboard. I mean, the dexterity that takes and the confidence it takes is otherworldly. You know, it's kind of freakish. And I'm just really glad he was wearing white last night. We needed every bit out of him.
Chris, I want to get back to the defense, where it wasn't pretty for a lot of this game, but it seemed like they locked in down the stretch. They gave up just 9 points in the final 8 minutes. You can think of the Seldon Miguel and the Derek Queen blocks that turned into buckets on the other end. What did you see with this defense down the stretch?
Well, Tim, I thought they played with a lot more urgency, period, in the second half. It was a flat first half. I more than the defense, I mean, I think one of the things that you have to iron out before you play Florida is what you're doing on the backboards. Because you think back two of the last three games, they have not had good efforts on the boards. So that's going to have to be better if you expect to win on Thursday night. Certainly the rebounding is a part of defense. They were just way too many second shots for Colorado State yesterday afternoon. So I just think, again, urgency is sort of the bottom line. They didn't have it at all in the first half. They finally got it in the second half. I thought you saw it for pretty much the entire second half. I just think that they took it to another level there in the last 7 or 8 minutes. And, it's a game you can't lose. I mean, how many opportunities do you have as a 4 seed to be playing a 12 seed for a berth in the Sweet 16? And no disrespect to Colorado State, when those opportunities present itself, you got to seize them.
Rodney Rice on the ball more than we're used to. What did you make of that?
Well, they were denying Gillespie the ball a little bit more than the other opponents have. And I think, honestly, I think that's a sound strategy. I just think that I think if I'm coaching against Maryland, I would try to take the ball out of Gillespie's hands, deny him the ball on swings. You know, if you can get the ball out of his hand on those dribble handoffs, you do the same thing there. You force Rodney to be a playmaker. Now, he's a capable playmaker. He's just not, you know, probably a natural point guard. And, I think it was a really, just really good defense by Colorado State.
Let's finish here. Obviously, it's a few days away. And have you even looked at Florida? What's this matchup look like for you, Chris?
I mean, the SEC teams have been on TV this year more than Seinfeld. You know, I mean, it's hard to miss them. They play with great pace. They got, you know, really good.
Well, that's what happened at the end of the first time. Chris Nockey, he'll be on the call with Johnny Holiday and Walt Williams as the Terps take on Florida Thursday, 7:30. Tip, pregame coverage, 6:30 here on 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back at the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio at 6 here on The Fan. Final segment leading you into Infinity Sports Radio, and let's get right to it. Bellway Ben, how about the text of the day?
Check, 1-2, check.
Text of the Day is sponsored by Orsman Automotives, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text of the Day comes from Jimmy in Baltimore, who says, "That was the biggest shot for the Terps since Drew Nicholas back in 03. Was nice to be on the right side of that for once this season."
Absolutely. I can't, no lies told there. Number one, the four buzzer beater losses in a row. And number two, that is, I was sitting in the New York Sportsbook in Vegas when Drew Nicholas hit that shot. My now ex-wife years ago, she got tickets to see Rita Rudner, the comedian.
Yeah.
And the show was about to start, and she said, "I'm going in." I go, "I'm not leaving until this game ends." So I sat in the sportsbook by myself while she went to see Rita Rudner.
Did you know at that point in time?
Yes.
Was there a sense that
that was
this,
the end?
This may be a fork in the road.
Yes. Yeah.
I have no idea.
There may be bigger forces at play here.
Yeah.
This is a metaphor for this relationship.
She was quite frankly a mediocre comedian from our
I wouldn't have been into that. I would have gone if my wife wanted to go.
That's how it happened. But I knew you'd remember her name.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I caught the last hour of Rita Rudner.
Yeah.
Don't remember it all, but I remember Drew Nicholas' shot.
Now, look, that was as fun of a celebration as I've had in my living room watching a sporting event with my kids as we've had in a long time. And again, we'll explore this more tomorrow, but there's a part of me that thinks they can relax a little bit now. They are so tight, especially in the first half of these games. And, you know, if they fall behind big, they've battled back in the past against really good teams and not been boat raced. So I don't think they're scared of being embarrassed. Frankly, I think they were scared of slipping up and not at least getting to this point because they knew the draw. And like Nockey just said, you get to face a 13 and a 12 and you don't make it to the second weekend. That would have been tough. After the season you've had, you just won 12 of 14 in the Big Ten or whatever.
And they haven't been blown out all year. All of their losses have been 6 points or less. But before we get out, just recap some of the polls that we have up. IA1057 The Fan on Twitter. Simple question for Terps fans. Will the powers that be at College Park step up and keep Willard here and opt to be a big-time basketball scorer? Will they keep splitting the baby between hoops and football and lose him? Over 200 votes. Terps will keep Willard, 58.2%. He's gone, 41.8%.
I told you I'm feeling strangely confident right now, but check back in on hump day. That's
fingers crossed and toes crossed.
Yes.
We got one more for O's. O's got rained out Monday, but had Jackson Holiday back at shortstop in the starting lineup. Hasn't started a game at second base since March the 3rd and really struggled at shortstop at AAA. And they've been putting Westy at second base instead of third. Does this rub Birdland the wrong way? We hate it. Try Jackson at shortstop, 55.2%. Just put Soto at short, 44.8%.
Or Vasquez, for that matter. Yes.
Well, I think Vasquez has just been sent to the
minor league camp. Yeah, he was reassigned.
So it's going to be Mateo or
Jackson Holiday.
Well, Mateo or Soto.
Yes.
As the extra man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And if it's Mateo, I would think you'd just play him at shortstop.
Yes, and you put Holiday at second and Westbrook at third, and but bing, bam, boom.
We shall see.
Bone, what's on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, the first of many weeklies with Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick.
Bordy.
Bill Ripken will be joining us as well. Maybe another surprise. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a possibility of sunshine. It's partly cloudy with a chance of sunshine. We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow. But coming up next, don't change that dial. Infinity Sports Radio taking you through your evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.